Our sermon today is entitled, Doing the Impossible. Doing the Impossible. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Today we're here in your sanctuary. And Father, you have listened to our praise. Father, you have certainly blessed us in our giving. You have heard our prayers. And now, Father, it's time to hear a word from you. We do invite your Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our minds, to guide, to teach, to convict, to comfort, to bless. As it is my custom, Father, I give you all that I am, willingly submit all my faculties over to you, to be used as you choose, with the sole purpose of uplifting Jesus. And having your people accepting him as their Savior and Lord. May as we hear your words today, may we be glad. May we receive them with all gratitude, and above all, may we be transformed. May we become more and more like Jesus. We invite us just the Church of the Living God say, Amen. Doing the impossible. Matthew West, you know that singer, right? He has a song that's called Forgiveness. And in that song, he started out by saying, regarding forgiveness, it is the hardest thing to give away. And it's the last thing on our minds today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how we feel when the pain they caused is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. And then he continues by saying, it flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It always angers own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you've got a right to hold a grudge, whisper in your ear saying, set me free. Forgiveness. Then he said, show me how to love the unlovable, Lord. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible. Forgiveness. Help me now to do the impossible. wonder. As I was going through this parable, I wonder if Matthew West wrote this song based upon this parable. Maybe someone could ask him today. But there's so much within the song like this parable within Matthew 18. In fact, Jesus was asked a question one day. Am I there? I feel like I'm going in and out. You can hear me clearly. Wonderful. In and out. Okay. This one? Okay. All right, let me. Testing. All right. Jesus was asked a question one day by one of his disciples. In fact, the Bible said in verse 21 of Matthew 18, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Peter said, up to 7 times. In fact, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times what? Up to 490 times. Can you imagine that? In fact, Jesus was simply quoting the Bible in Genesis chapter 4. The numbers are not what are significant to him. Jesus has something far more powerful to share with Peter. Peter was focusing on numbers. Jesus was focusing on the content of the heart. And so Jesus carried on and he said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a what? A certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Do you know that's a lot of money? 10,000 talents, of all the records that I can read, amount to just about $6 billion to $610 billion. Come on, y'all. Did you hear what I just said? 10,000 talents, that's a lot of money. I tell you, Sister Small, how much can you do with $10 billion today? Yeah. But that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is using a huge number for a purpose. He said, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that all that he should be what? Sold. And his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. So in other words, if he can't pay me this $1 billion, well, guess what? We want to enslave him, his wife, and all his children. Wow. If he cannot pay. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he should be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, Come on, y'all. And I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with what? Released him and forgave him the debt. This man, Jesus said, owed this master $10 billion. And said he would repay it. In other words, it seems that this man was willing to try. Amen? He was saying, listen, forgive me. Let me try. The master said, you know what? You don't even know that you can't. It's impossible for you to pay this debt. However, I will forgive you of all of it. Every single dime. You don't have to worry in fear anymore about you and your family. You can leave my court right now and go home free. Can you imagine how that man felt? How would you feel if this master had forgiven you all of it? I mean, you would have been so happy, wouldn't you? I know I would have been happy. And knowing full well that this master, when he forgives, he doesn't remember. Amen? You go home free. Jesus is telling the story to Peter regarding how much time he should forgive. He's heading somewhere. And then Jesus said, but that same servant, went out and found one of his servants who owed him what? 100 denarii. 100 what? 100 denarii. Do you know how much is 100 denarii? $20 a day. Sister Wyona, how much did I say? $20. This man just got forgiven by the master for how much? $10 billion. He come across a guy who owed him $20 a day. Are you with me? Come on, y'all. But that servant went out and found one of his servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on this guy. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. I mean, this brother wanted his money. And the laws of the land gave him that right during that time. This man owed him this 100 denarii, and he was going to get it. And if he did not, someone is going to hurt. I mean, it's as if he had forgotten everything that just happened. You would have think this guy would have said, listen, man, maybe I need to give you some money. Not at all. The Bible said, he said, pay me what you owe. In verse 29, so he what? So his fellow servant fell down. Now watch this fellow servant here. So this fellow servant fell down. At his what? At his feet. And begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you what? It's almost like Jesus is saying, this second servant is saying the same thing you said to the master before. Word for word. So this man is now begging you for some mercy. He's down on his knees. And he's almost trying to get some relief. And he desires to pay it all back. That's in his heart. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should what? He had the right to do that, and he did. He threw this servant who was begging for mercy into prison, who was asking for some help. He wanted, this second servant wanted some forgiveness. He wanted some release. He wanted to start his life all over again. But guess what? That was completely impossible with this man. This man throws this servant into prison over the 100 denarii so he could pay the debt. So when his servants saw what had been done, they were what? You see, while he was treating this servant the way he was, he didn't know that there were others who were watching him. While he was treating this servant in such an unforgiving manner, such a ruthless manner, he didn't know that people was observing his actions. And the moment that this scene was finished, those people went and told the master. Because these people knew the story that this guy was what? Forgiven. And look at how he's acting now. So you would think, sure enough, word got to the master. By the way, for church folk, we got to be careful how we act and how we treat people. Because those who are watching will end up discrediting your faith in what you believe and cast a shadow upon the things of God. There's so much in this. We're going to get to it. But let's keep going. The story says, so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very what? They were very grieved. And the reason why is this man should have known better. And came and told his master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant. Can you imagine the words used here? You wicked servant. In fact, truth be told, this man was wicked. I would agree with Jesus here. You wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you what? You begged me. You know, Jesus is one practical dude. My Savior. I mean, he's getting straight at Peter. He's not mincing words with Peter. He's trying to say, Peter, listen, there's actually an issue with your heart. And I'm coming after that. That's what Jesus is saying. You can't claim me and then live anyhow you want. And then hope to get eternity. It doesn't work like that, Jesus is saying. If you're going to claim me as your God, then there's certain things that you can't do. He's getting to the heart of it. I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant? Just as I had pity on you. And this master was angry. You know what Jesus is saying here? He's trying to say, who is the master? Who is the master? He's telling Peter. The master is God. That's what he's trying to say. And he's trying to say the father in this picture is angry. He's upset. Why is he upset? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay what? All that was due to him. So the master sent him to the torturers. And you know what? That is, in this picture right here, that Jesus is trying to share with Peter, that this wicked servant end up with an eternal ruin. That's what he's trying to say. The end of his action is eternal ruins. That's how serious it is. And finally, he now shares. You know, with each parable, it always have a central teaching that Jesus is communicating. And so now Jesus finished the parable with the teaching. And he said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother is trespasses. In other words, I didn't say it, Jesus did. He said, so my heavenly Father will do. This is what God will do to those who choose not to forgive his brothers or sisters as they have received forgiveness. What a teaching. What a teaching. I read this, and I tell you, each time I do, by the way, it proposed some a challenge to me. Let me first say that. Because for me, I want my relationship with Jesus to grow. What about you? Amen? And I want my heart to be in the right place when it comes to people. I must confess with you, it's not everyone in this world I like. Come on, y'all, is pastor alone? I mean, there are some people in this world I would rather stay far away from. I mean, the hardest conflict I have in life today is people. And as I think about where I'm at, and then I think about this text, I wrestle with God with this. And I'm trying to say, you too have to wrestle with it. Because I'm not the only person who God is saying that I need to forgive others. He's saying it to me. He's also saying it to you. And he's saying, I will never look past any person who willfully choose not to forgive someone else and then want to come into my kingdom. That's what he's saying. Well, this is not what the Bible said. It said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you. So I notice a context in this parable. I'd just like to leave with you this today. Jesus said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart. I believe that's the key of the parable. From his heart. Does not forgive his brother his trespasses. From his what? He never said, like many people will say today, you know, and sure enough, forgiveness is not easy. And there's so many different dimensions of forgiveness. All right? Psychologists will start. You can study forgiveness all your life if you'd like. There's a lot in there. However, Jesus is saying, forgive. He's talking about the forgiveness from the heart. What does that mean? I believe Jesus is saying, one, it's supernatural. That's what he's saying. It's what? The forgiveness he's talking about here is something you can't generate. No psychologist can generate it. People can talk about it fine. They can practice all kinds of stuff. But this forgiveness that I'm talking about only comes from God. It's supernatural. I can't generate it. I can try to forgive as many people as I don't like. But the truth is, I really can't. My heart doesn't really have the capacity to do that. I need someone external to come on the inside and do something supernatural. And the only person who can do that is Jesus Christ. Thinking about your spouse and you'd love to forgive your spouse and you can't? Yes, you can't. Without Jesus, you can't. But with God, all things are what? All things are possible. I think about all that goes on inside relationships between a married couple. And sometimes the relationship, yes, it gets strained. And things happen that just rupture the relationship. And people then want to separate and go their different ways. And God is saying, I don't even like divorce. I don't even like it. Yes, he allowed it. He allowed them to practice it. But guess what? He's saying what? For me, I don't like that stuff because there's something that is in my heart, God is saying, that I'd love to see being exercised. And that would change the world. And that is something that I'd love to come in and help with. Are you with me? I would love to come and help with that. He's saying, I want you to forgive from the heart, meaning it's supernatural. Wow. Wow. The story is told. Of a father and his son who became estranged. Their relationship soured. The son ran away and the father set off to find him. He searched for months and months at no avail, could not find his son. Finally, in the last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Paco, I love you. Meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. I love you. This is your father." And all is forgiven. On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. There's something about forgiveness that really, it's so powerful. It has the potential of setting relationships that have gone far apart to coming back together again. And Jesus knows how to do it. Are we willing to allow him to do it? Some of us don't even want to think about forgiveness. We just want to go our separate ways. And God is saying, how are you going to do that when I am against it? That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm completely against unforgiveness. If you want to take that road, well, you're going to end up just like this servant. And I don't want that for you. That's what he's saying. I do not want that. I want you to experience what I can bless you with. I don't know where you're at this morning or this afternoon, but if you're here today and you're struggling in a relationship with someone, or maybe something that someone else has done you, why not go to Jesus and ask him today, Lord, I can't do it, but I want to allow you to do that in my heart. The second reason, I believe Jesus said to forgive from the heart is not just that it's supernatural, which is outside our capacity to do, but also Jesus is saying it's filled with gratefulness. Coming from the heart, meaning there's such a gratitude for what you have received. You are now just ready and pumped and filled to let that overflow on someone else. In other words, from the heart means that you are thankful to what you have received. I am thankful for what I have received from God. In fact, turn to Ephesians. Let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul gave us just a little glimpse of that beautiful experience. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. In fact, we're in the book of Ephesians this quarter in our study. And look at verse 32. Paul said, and be what? Kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, come on, y'all, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Beautiful. Beautiful. Amen? So in other words, have you received God's forgiveness? Anyone here today? You have received it? Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you, it's one of the beautiful things of the gospel that God provides. He shared it with the human family in the temple service where the sacrifice was slain after they confessed their sins upon the animal's head. Meaning the sin was now transferred from the person onto the what? Animal. And they turned away and walked back home free from that sin. That sin would never ever be used against them again for the rest of their lives. It's gone. That's how God says, I forgive people. If you would, you remember how this servant, how he went and knelt down before the master? Remember that? And how the master did not even budge, right? He just forgave him of everything. The moment we repent before God, God is willing to forgive us of all of that sin. He will never use that sin against us ever again. But some people want to hold on to it. They want to keep doing it as if God doesn't exist. Are you with me, church family? As if he's not looking. As if we can somehow hide from him. You know, I'm glad this is not Pastor Harris saying all these things from the Bible, but God's word is saying it. So you really don't have a problem with me. I'll ask you to forgive me, please. Really, we all have a problem with the text, if we have any. You know, it said here, Paul said, even as God in Christ forgave us. That's a supernatural act. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And sure enough, I have made so many bad decisions in my life. I've knelt before my Lord, and I've asked my Lord to forgive me. And I receive it. From time to times, even after that, from time to times, I have made mistakes along the journey. But I thank my Lord because each time when I ask him for forgiveness, my goal now is to somehow, and we'll talk about this at another time, but my goal now is somehow not to just receive forgiveness and not try to correct some of those mistakes. Are you with me? We'll deal with that at another point, with another parable. But as I go, I'm trying as much as I can with the help of God, day by day, trying to become more and more like him. And I believe God is at work in my life. Is he at work in your life as well? Last thing here I see with forgiveness from the heart. Yes, it is a supernatural thing. Yes, it's a heart filled with gratefulness. But it's unconditional. What do I mean by that? What do you mean by that, Pastor? It's unconditional. I mean, this man owed $10 billion of the master's money. That's a whole lot of money. It's impossible for him to pay it back. Are you following? But when he came and he asked the master for forgiveness, the master was ready right there to say, from today, you don't have to worry about this $10 billion. Money will not be a problem when it comes to me forgiving you. Are you with me? Jesus is saying, this is not about money. It's not even about how many times you want to forgive. What I'm getting at, Peter, is that you're missing something. I am dealing with something that's supernatural. And I'm putting nothing in between. When I'm ready to forgive, I will forgive all. It's unconditional. I'm not going to forgive you and then say, listen, I'm not going to forget what you did. I'm going to bring it up tomorrow if I see you do something again. Are you with me? If you want to really mess up a relationship, keep bringing up the past. Even after you said you had forgiven. Come on, y'all. Y'all, the moment you say to someone, I forgive you, leave it. Just drop it. Don't bring that up again in the relationship. Or just don't say you forgive them. It's better to say, I don't forgive you. But if you do say, you know what? I truly forgive you. It's like the man who went to Jesus and said, Lord, I did it again. I did it again. And Jesus responded to the man, did what again? Did what again? Are you with me? It's unconditional. It's not based upon money, emotions, things, how many times we forgive. It means that we're lacking a supernatural gift that only God alone can provide. And that means that should then now push us to Jesus. Amen? Because we truly want to, don't we? We truly want to forgive as how Jesus forgave us. But we can't. And so what that does now, it pushes us to him. Lord, can you help me? help me to forgive like how you forgave. Some people forgive and then they're going around telling people of the same things that they say they forgive. Forgave. I'm thankful. You know, it was David who said, man, I would take the judgments of God any day than the judgments of man. That's what he said. I would take that any day. Because at least when God forgives, it's unconditional. It's complete. What a God. What a God. And so, we come to the point when we have to make some decisions. As I stand here today, I'm going to be honest with you. The Lord spoke to my heart about an individual that my wife told me recently, Sean, just forgive him. You see, I wrestle with the same thing you do. Sean, just forgive him. And I stop. And I had to relent and say, Lord, help me to forgive him. Help me. Help me. My church family, I want us to be the best Christians we can be for Jesus. That is my goal. As we work together, as we love on each other, as we just do the Lord's work together, I want us to do it with authenticity. Pure before God. Our hearts are clean. That's what I want. And so I'm going to ask the church today, if you know there are people in your life that you just need to say, Lord, I want to forgive them from the heart. Would you help me to do so? If you know that you have people in your life that you need to do that, would you commit today that you'll take care of it? Oh, silence. That means that sermon was preached to one. Me, I preached that sermon to myself today. No? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My brother, and if you are here today and you have never received the forgiveness of Jesus, yes, you have come to church, but you have never began that journey where you want to say, Lord, I want to receive that supernatural gift that you offer to people who, just like the servant who comes to the master and bow down. You've never done that before. You've never said, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins, of all my past. Receive me as your child today. If you are here today and you would like to say that to Jesus, Lord, have mercy upon me and receive him as your Savior, I'm going to invite you to stand along with those who would also like to say to Jesus, I've been on this journey with you, but I'm having issues with my spouse of unforgiveness. Lord, I've been on this journey with you, but sure enough, you know there's some people I just don't like and I can't deal with it. But the thing is, I work with them. The thing is, Father, I even serve with them in the church. I need something supernatural. that comes from you alone. Would you help me? I don't care where you are in these two requests. I'm going to invite you to stand wherever you find yourself. And sure enough, if you stood up today and you'd like to give your heart to Jesus, I want you to talk to me on your way out. Let's pray. Our Father, sometimes you give direct words to your disciples. You don't even seem to trying to water it down in any way. You're very direct. The answer that you gave to Peter, we're standing before you and we're saying as your people, it's sufficient for us. Because we see ourselves in so many ways like that wicked servant. And we're standing here asking you on this afternoon to simply forgive us. Forgive us for the way we have acted, Father. And we just hope it hasn't damaged your kingdom in any way or turned anyone from coming to Jesus. Father, we ask that you just remove that record of our lives from the books of heaven and replace it with the now. The now that we're asking you about today. We're asking you to just forgive, and like you alone can, fill our hearts with the supernatural gift of forgiveness. Lord, and I pray this might spark some conversations in the bedroom. It might cause some conversations in the boardroom. Father, wherever the conversations of forgiveness needs to begin, I pray that it will start now in our hearts. Father, I pray that you'll always remind us of how you forgave us. And may our hearts be filled with gratitude because of that. Father, may we always remember that the cross shares the amazing blessing of the Savior giving up his life, receiving the wrath and the curse of the Lord upon himself for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did. And thank you for the example that you have set when it comes to how we should forgive. Father, help us to forgive like you forgave. And not put anything in between. I forgive you, but there's no but. Help us to just forgive. This can only happen with you. And so in the name of Jesus, bless us today. Enable us today. Fill us today. Father, work with us today so that we might be people who would leave this place and stand up and walk up and do all that we can to reflect you truly in all that we do. We ask all these blessings to be poured out upon us. In Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say, amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord.